Be seated. So our text for today is the Beatitudes, and in fact, the entire Sermon on the Mount. So we look at Matthew chapter 5, beginning at the third verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Dear friends in Christ, oftentimes the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes in particular have been called the greatest sermon ever preached. And usually the reasoning behind people saying that is because these words so effectively challenge us and who we are, so accurately define what a Christian life is, and at the same time challenges us to live that life. Now, I got thinking about the way we often approach the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, and it got me to thinking about something new that we just installed at our house. You know those Ring doorbells? Yeah, well, we got the cheaper version, okay? So you don't have to pay a monthly fee, but it's basically the same thing. You know, we installed on the front door. It's basically a doorbell that has a motion detector in it, so if someone moves in front of the house, you know, they're on camera, and if they come to the door, you know, they can talk into it, and we can talk back out to them. And I've been playing around with that, you know, I mean, having some fun with it, trying to figure it out, and mostly, there's not a lot of crime in our neighborhood, but, you know, there are some pretty strange people who come up to people's doors, and, you know, at the very, very least, it'll, you know, encourage certain dogs with their masters to keep on walking by, okay? That would be very nice. Now, I did find one thing on there. There are three preset responses. So if you're too lazy to talk to anybody, you can just press one of these. And they're not that threatening. I mean, I would think a good one would be angry dog, you know, press four, you know, but they don't have that. Or something like, we have dialed 9-1, we will press the second one in 5 seconds, 5-4-3, you know, something like that. But it's nothing like that. It's very calm. The first one is, how can we help you? So it's a question. The second one is, leave it at the door. So it's a command. And the third one is, we'll be right there, which is a promise. And I got to thinking, you know, that is the way that we often respond in those three ways, mostly the first two, to the Sermon on the Mount and to the Beatitudes. We look at it as a question. And really, how can I help you? The real question is what? Who are you and what do you want? That's just kind of a rude way of saying that. But with the Sermon on the Mount, it asks us, who are we? Who are we? We go through the Beatitudes and we say, okay, am I poor in spirit? Am I meek? Do I hunger and thirst for righteousness? Am I pure in heart? Am I a peacemaker? We continue on through the Sermon on the Mount. Am I salt, as Jesus describes it? Am I a light on a hill that is not hidden? Am I merciful? Am I forgiving? Do I care? We seek to define ourselves by asking those questions, and when we're honest with ourselves, the answers aren't really what we want to hear. And then Jesus comes along in at the end of chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says some words that could be comforting, right? Don't worry. I'm thinking, oh, good. Don't worry that you're not measuring up. No, he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or wear. Those are the least of my problems by the time I've gotten to chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. And then at the end of chapter 7, the end of the sermon, he really gets into it, gives us an actual idea of what it means to be defined as a Christian who doesn't live like it. And he says, many will say, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, I didn't know you. And Jesus will say, who are you? So that first application is not very helpful. The second one is a command. Just like my doorbell, right? Leave it at the door. This is a command, very simple, okay? If you're not living that way, start doing it. Good. That's simple enough, right? Okay, so then when you have to start being meek and hungry and thirsting for righteousness and merciful and pure in heart and peacemakers, we have to start being light on a hill. We have to just do all those things. Very simple, and it's great. We have these words, the Beatitudes. We can frame them, put them on our wall, laminate them, put them on our refrigerators, and we can put them on our phones, and we can buy ourselves a nice big journaling Bible with huge margins so we can encapsulate our journey into sainthood. But the margins are going to be filled with pain, frustration, and when we think about it, fear. That's not all that helpful. It's what the Apostle Paul says, right? The good I want to do, I don't do, and the good I don't want, or the bad I don't want to do is what I do. In other words, I'm not living up to this. And the bad news is, I don't know how to change that. Which leads us to the third response, which is promise. With my doorbell, someone comes to the thing and rings the doorbell, and I press, be right there. There's a promise there. That for the time being, that person is facing a door that's shut and locked, and yet someone from the house will come and open that door, greet them, maybe even invite them in. It's a promise. And there's a promise here. The Beatitudes are all about promise. Promises that are in the present and promises in the future. Look at how it's formed. It's very interesting. You kind of have to look at it, though. Verses 3 and 10 are kind of the brackets, and everything in between is different. 3 and 10 are in the present tense. Everything in between is in the future. So verse 3 says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 10 says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And everything in between is future. They will be comforted. They will inherit the earth. They will be satisfied, will receive mercy, will see God, will be called sons of God. It's talking about promises. And this is what Jesus is trying to get at in this text. This is what he's saying. And it's so incredibly important that we understand exactly what he's saying, because we can so easily take these words and put them off into the old way of thinking about things. I'll get you one in particular that we do all the time. The merciful one. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And we assume what that's saying is, well, I'm merciful so that God will be merciful to me. Now, what that really means is that God holds back his mercy to us until judgment day, then looks at our life, then says, well, I wonder if that person was merciful enough, and if we are, then he shows us mercy. Is that how Jesus treat anybody in the Gospels? Is that how you see Jesus treating you in your life? Absolutely not, because that's not what it's saying. In the Beatitudes, what Jesus is doing is celebrating the work of recreating the disciples. Keep in mind, he's not really speaking to the crowd. He's speaking, they're certainly listening, but he's speaking primarily to the disciples. And the promise is to them, look, you are in the kingdom of heaven now. That's why it's in the present tense. You are in the kingdom of heaven, and since you are, all the promises in between verse 3 and 10 are yours, now and in an even greater sense, into the future. All throughout the Old Testament, you can go all the way back to Adam and Eve, and all through the prophets, God is constantly saying the same thing over and over again. I'll be there soon. When Jesus arrives and says the kingdom of heaven is here, he says, I'm here now. That's Jesus opening the door and ushering us in to the kingdom and telling us about the promises that are ours. The only challenge that we have to worry about is this, is the challenge to daily grow in faith in this respect, to daily grow stronger and stronger in seeing the kingdom in which we live and to see the promises that are already ours. And every day of our lives, we grow in seeing that more clearly. That's what it means to grow in our Christian lives. To see more clearly the mercy that's been shown us, and when that happens, you tend to show more mercy to others. To see the forgiveness that you've been given, and that leads you to forgive others. To help us to see that the door is open, the kingdom is ours, the promises are true, because our Savior lives. In his name, amen.